Were any of you excited over the Giants winning their third World Series in 5 years? I suspect there were quite a few. I sure was. And I wanted to use something from that extraordinary victory in my homily. Some of the news reports actually sounded almost liturgical. One of the commentators, Kim Kawakami, wrote after the seventh game, and I quote, "This was, is, and shall be forever the Madison Bumgarner World Series." I mean, it sounds like something right out of the Roman Missal. His comment, I couldn't work it into my homily, but I thought it was an interesting comment. The comment that I am going to work into my homily was made by Ryan Vogelson. He said, "Bumgarner carried the whole team on his back. He carried the whole team on his back, an amazing feat. But infinitely more marvelous is that Jesus Christ carried all our sins on his wounded back. Isaiah prophesied that by those wounds we are healed and set free. He, a perfectly innocent man, who is also the Son of God, experienced on the cross the greatest evil that human beings are capable of, and he responded with love and mercy, even forgiving those who tortured and killed him. 3 days later, his love and mercy were shown to be infinitely more powerful than sin and evil, as we see when he was raised from the dead. Since that moment, all those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, and receive him into their hearts, are enabled to participate in Jesus' victory over sin and death. This is the promise Jesus makes in today's gospel from chapter 6 of John. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And the will of my Father is that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." This is the beautiful truth that we are celebrating on November 1st and November 2nd, that all human beings are invited to receive forgiveness of their sins and enter into intimate friendship with God by participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. On November 1st, we honor all the men and women who have died and are with God in heaven. We call them the saints. On November 2nd, we pray for all the souls who are on their way to heaven, a journey that we call purgatory. I'd like to define some terms. First, the soul. The soul is the spiritual, immaterial essence of who we are. It continues to exist after the body dies. Many formerly agnostic scientists who didn't believe in the soul are now convinced of the soul's existence because of consistent reports of hundreds of people who had near-death experiences and who were then resuscitated. Many of these stories are related in a variety of books, including Dr. Raymond Moody's book, Life After Life. The reports have an amazing consistency, and they reveal that when persons leave their bodies, they exist entirely separate from the body without ever losing consciousness. They are often able to observe everything around them, including their own body. And if, like, they're in a hospital room and doctors and nurses are trying to resuscitate them, they see the whole thing, but are in a very peaceful, detached state, watching it all. These reports from medical doctors affirm what Christian theology has always taught, namely that human consciousness is not dependent on the body and brain activity. There is a spiritual core within us called the soul that continues to live after death. What happens next after death is called the particular judgment, when we are rewarded soon after death in accordance with our works and our faith. Now, some people assume that everyone goes to heaven when they die. And, of course, with the best of intentions, when we hear that someone has died, we will often say to the next of kin, "Well, now he's in a better place. Now she's in a better place." And we hope that's true. But Jesus teaches that our destiny depends to some degree on us. We don't automatically go to heaven. It depends on the choices we make and how we live our lives. In his parable about the rich man and Lazarus, remember that story? Rich man feasts sumptuously every day, dressed in the finest clothes, and this poor beggar is at his door day after day, just longing to eat scraps that fall from the table of that rich man. And the rich man is oblivious, could care less. And because he was oblivious to the suffering of the poor, this rich man goes to hell. And then in another chapter of the gospel, in chapter 23 of Luke, we read about a different destination of someone who's going to die. It's the criminal hanging on the cross next to Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, this very day you will be with me in paradise." This criminal repented of his sinful life at the last moment, and he asked Jesus for mercy, and mercy was given him. These two passages present two possible destinations after death. Hell, in the case of that rich man who is oblivious to the sufferings of the poor, and heaven, for this criminal who repented of his evil. But what about people who die somewhat faithful to God, but who still have desires and habits against the will of God that separate them from God to some degree? Such people will not be condemned, but they are not yet capable of experiencing God until their entire heart belongs to God. In the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God." In other words, only the clean of heart can enter heaven, because heaven is to experience the vision of God with all the angels and saints who have gone before us. The clean of heart refers to those whose hearts are entirely with the Lord. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states, and I quote, "All who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation, but after death they undergo purification, so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven." The Church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from the punishment of the damned. Jesus refers to this purification after death in Matthew chapter 12, when he says that sins against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, what does he mean by the age to come? That there's some age to come where forgiveness could occur? Well, clearly he's not talking about heaven, because there's no need for any forgiveness in heaven. And he's not talking about hell, where no forgiveness is possible. There must be another state of existence after death where continued forgiveness and purification take place. We call this purgatory. Purgatory is like an antechamber to heaven and consists, we could say, of rehabilitation rather than retribution. Today, on November 2nd, we pray for those souls who have died but who have not yet completed their journey to heaven. Early Christians celebrated Mass for the dead because they knew that our prayers can help not only people in this world, but also those who have died and are on their journey to heaven. That's the main reason why we celebrate funerals, to assist the soul on its way to heaven. The good news of today's celebration is that Jesus never rejects anyone who comes to him and seeks his mercy, even at the last hour. The important thing is to believe his message, to believe him, to accept him as Lord and Savior, and to follow him each day. And when we fall, to quickly ask for his mercy. He always offers us his tender mercy because he is the incarnation of divine mercy.